If you've looked at your bulletin, you'll see that the title of our sermon is Blessings Upon Blessings Upon Blessings. And you might think that he made up that title because of what's been going on with him in the last week or so. And I could have, but that's not what this is about. The Lord has certainly blessed us. I'm sure he's blessed many of you in the same way. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings. That is the kind of God that we serve. He is a God who blesses us. And it is a blessing full of power and grace and kindness. Well, this morning we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And then we're going to go back to Numbers chapter 6. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read one verse from here. It's verse 16. This verse is a modification of Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. So here we have the New Testament apostle, the Apostle Paul, taking the substance of the blessing that God gave to the people of Israel in the book of Numbers. So we're just going to read this one verse, and then we'll turn to Numbers chapter 6. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now please turn back to Numbers. And in Numbers is where we'll be spending most of our time this morning. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 27. This is a blessing that the Lord commanded Moses to tell Aaron to give to his people, to give to God's people. This is sometimes called the Aaronic blessing, but I think that's a misnomer. It is God's blessing. It's not Aaron's blessing. It is God's blessing upon his people. Verse 22, this is God's holy and inspired word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, that you are a God of blessing. You are a covenantal God, Lord, who keeps his promises. And Father, we ask that you would do that today. Through the preaching and reading and hearing of your word, Lord, shape us to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Conform us into his image, that we may be pleasing in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd ask you, if you looked at your bulletins, you would see the title of the sermon is Blessings Upon Blessings Upon Blessings. And I would ask you also, if you have your bulletins, but if not, it's probably something that you remember. If you were to look down towards the bottom of the order of service, you would see the word, the benediction. The benediction. And if I were to ask you, or someone, maybe you had a guest here at a worship service one time, and they saw that, and they would say, what's this, the benediction? Because it is a strange word. It's not a word that we use very often. In fact, about the only two places that I've noticed they have been used, it has been used, is in the worship service or at a graduation ceremony. And I'm not sure if they even do that nowadays. But we still do it. It's because God has commanded us to. And we have this here, the benediction. But if you were to ask some people what that means in your bulletin, you might get answers such as the end. Or maybe that's all. The final prayer. And hopefully, you might hear some answer this way. That is the blessing of God. Because that's what the benediction is. It is the blessing of God. And it is a pronounced blessing. It is a pronounced blessing. And the question before us today is, even if we know what it is, the benediction is a blessing, do we know the substance of it? Do we understand the substance of it? Do we know why we do it in worship, where it comes from, and why it is so important? And And why? What is so important about it to us? The benediction is different from an announcement. It is not an announcement. The blessing is not an announcement. It is a pronouncement. An announcement is something that somebody declares about information. A pronouncement is something that somebody declares who has the power to bring it about. And that's why we pronounce. That's why the minister pronounces the blessing or the benediction. And since it is something that we do as part of our worship, week in and week out, it is something that we should know and understand. It is something that we should know how to respond to it, how we are to take it from the Lord. Years ago, when I worked at Duke Energy, when I was working here in Columbus back in the 90s, we used to have the children, the college-age children of Duke Energy workers would come and work for us in the summertime. And one of these young men came into our department there to warehouse and found out that I was a pastor at Clifford Baptist Church. And, you know, after many days, often of witnessing to him, come to find out this guy is an atheist. And one day he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, I just want to know, can I give a blessing?" I was like, What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, can I bless people?" And I said, "Well, what are you going to bless them with?" He goes, "Well, really, nothing. I just want to say the words, bless you." And I said, "And the significance of that is?" And he had no answer. And so I told him, "You can say anything, but you don't have the power to do it. You don't have the power to do it." And we often use words like this as well. And in good meaning and in good faithfulness, we might sometimes say, "The Lord bless you," or "God bless you." We might end a letter like that, or a card, or even a conversation. And so we use this word with good intent. We want that person to receive God's blessing, something good for them. But we cannot guarantee that it will happen either. It is our hope. It may be our prayer. But we cannot guarantee that it will happen. And that is what is significantly different than when you hear the benediction in a worship service. There is a difference. And the difference is that the one who has made the blessing, who has said to pronounce this blessing, the Lord God Almighty, has the power to carry it out and promises that he will do so. That is the difference between us saying, "Lord bless you," and God saying, "I will bless you." And I am speaking this morning particularly about the benediction in our worship. Not God's blessings in general that we may see at different times and experience, but this act of worship that God calls us to receive the pronouncement of his blessing. That's what I'm speaking to you about this morning. And it is important, and it is relevant, and you need it. Every single Lord's Day, you need this blessing from God. Why? Because God's Word teaches it, and God gives this blessing to encourage us and to comfort us. And so today, this morning, I will preach to you about the benediction. Not blessing in general, but what's going to happen even here today, towards the end of our service. There is going to be a benediction. Reverend Bob McCracken is going to pronounce the blessing of the Lord upon you, his people. And that is significant and real and powerful, and you need it. I'm going to preach this sermon in the form of questions. So I'm going to ask a question. That will be my point. So I'm going to ask a question and then give you an answer. And so the first question then, what then is the benediction? And I would say to you that the benediction is real and full of power. Not in the man who is giving it, but in the God who gave it to the man to give to you. That benediction is a pronouncement. It's not a prayer. The minister is not asking God to bless the people. Sometimes we see it that way. Sometimes you see it in the posture of the people who are receiving it, who bow their heads, and maybe receive it as a prayer. And I'm not telling you you cannot bow your head. You can bow your head and receive this blessing. But it's not a prayer. It is a pronouncement of something that God is going to do. And it comes from God directly. The minister is just the means that God uses to give it to you each Lord's day. And because it comes from God directly, it is certain to be carried out. It is certain to be carried out. Sometimes when you maybe sign an email or a card or a letter, you may say, I'm praying that the Lord blesses you. And that's a great prayer and should be done. You may say, may the Lord bless you, with hopes that the Lord will bless this person that you're writing to. But the minister doesn't say it like that. He's not hoping that God will bless you. He is pronouncing that God will bless you. He is pronouncing that it comes from God, because God has the power to carry out what he promises. And so having heard that, we must ask ourselves then, do we value the benediction, the formal pronouncement of God's blessing upon his people? Do we value it when we hear it? You know, the preacher sees everything. He sees the posture of the people when the benediction comes about. And sometimes people are getting their things together. Sometimes people are looking at the clock to see, did the preacher get done in time? Or you know he didn't, and look how long he went. But this time of the benediction is not a time to get our things ready to leave. It's a time to hear the promise of God. And how you respond to that as you're sitting in those pews each and every Lord's Day is an indication of how you value the benediction of God, the blessing of God. Oftentimes, the value of the worship service is hinging upon how good the preacher does in his sermon, or how well the preacher met a felt need in your life. If he does well, then the worship service was great. If the sermon was flat, and it happens, then the worship service was not so great. Well, you know, the preacher, the minister, is human. And he does not come up to the plate and hit a grand slam every time. You know it, and I know it. Not every sermon is as great as the other one. But the worship service and its value does not hinge on that sermon alone. And hopefully that won't happen too often, but sometimes you may even disagree with what is being preached, some element of it, or what has been prayed. But the scriptural benediction is not something that is up for debate. It is clear what God has said. It is clear, and every time the minister gives it, it is something that will be sure and true every time. And it is what you need to hear every Lord's Day. And your most important need at this moment, and the moment after the worship service, and when you go home, is that you will know the mercy and the grace and peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your greatest need, and that is what is promised to you in the benediction. That's what God is doing. It may seem like a funny question to ask, but I would ask you, do you want the blessing of God? Do you want the blessing of God? Do you want it like the Queen of Sheba wanted the wisdom of Solomon? That she gathered gold and silver and all kinds of material goods just to see if it was true, and traveled miles on top of miles to go visit King Solomon to see if it was true what they said about his wisdom. She wanted it. She wanted the wisdom of God. Do you want the blessing of God? Like Naaman, that pagan warrior who had leprosy, was hesitant to go to the prophet to receive healing, but when he was convinced, he went, even against what would be the wishes of his ruler, his master. who was a pagan worshiper. He went and received the blessing of God. And don't you recall that when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, they wrestled and wrestled, and there wasn't a victor until the angel of the Lord popped Jacob's hip out of joint, and Jacob would not let him go. And the angel of the Lord said, "Let me go," and he said, "Not until you bless me." He wanted that blessing of God. And the question is to you this morning, do you want this benediction? Or is it just the end of the service? Is it the final thing that the minister says? You may have been coming here today thinking you need this or that. But God knows exactly what you need, and He knows it better than you do. And you need Him and all of Him. And it is in Him and all of Him that is in this blessing that He gives to you. The next question that we should ask then is, who is this God who gives this blessing? And you'll notice in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, that there are three phrases in pairs, and each one starts out with the name of the person who is doing the blessing, and it is the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It is the Lord, Yahweh, that covenantal name of God in which He pronounces His relationship with His people, that it is through covenant that He is relating to His people. And notice in this passage in Numbers chapter 6 that it is the blessing itself is like God. God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the blessing is very similar to that. It is a three-in-one blessing. Just as the covenant God of Israel is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is how Paul expressed it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, that we read, saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." The blessing comes from the Lord, this triune God, and all of who He is. This means that God carries out His blessing in who He is. He is one God in three persons, always has been. And so as He works to bless, all three persons of the Godhead are working together to carry out this blessing. That's what Paul was trying to enumerate there, was that he was praying this blessing, pronouncing it to the people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how this blessing comes. And this is reflected also in what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And in that same chapter, Paul goes on to talk about how God works out this blessing, that it was the Father through love who adopted us. It was the Son by His grace through His shed blood that redeems us. And it was through the Holy Spirit that we have been given that guarantees our salvation, who is a deposit to us, that we don't have to worry whether or not this is true. We can have peace with God, knowing that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All spiritual blessings coming to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just a New Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing. And so in Christ we see, even here, in this blessing in Numbers, you see the working of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now let's look at each one of these. And let me preface this by saying that I'm not saying that God is limited to work in these categories here as listed in this blessing. But as we'll see in Scripture, there is testimony to the fact that each one of these blessings corresponds with the working of each person of the Trinity. And so the first one we see here in Numbers chapter 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The first blessing declares that God will keep us. This means to guard us, to keep watch over us. And this is what the Father does. Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, verse 9 and 11, asking Him to keep all those whom He had given to Jesus through His name. God the Father keeps us as He elects us, as He adopts us, as He keeps us from the evil one, as He keeps us from damnation, keeps us from eternal hell, and keeps us to Himself as His children. This is the blessing of eternal preservation. God keeps you. The Father keeps you. He keeps you from all evil. He keeps you to Himself. Jesus also said in John 18, 9, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Jesus is talking to the Father and acknowledging you are the keeper. You are the one who guards your people. And we saw this also in Luke chapter 22 when Jesus was talking to Peter and warning him that Satan had sought him to be sifted like wheat. And what did Jesus do? He prayed to the Father that the Father would keep him, that his faith would not fail. And that's exactly what God did. He kept Peter. He fell for that moment, but Peter's faith was kept alive. And it was kept alive by God the Father. In verse 25, we see the second blessing. The second blessing, part of this blessing, declares that God will make His face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. This is to say that He will face us and not turn His back. He will show us His face, which is to show us favor. God the Son is the person of the Godhead in whom we see the face of God, in whom we see God's grace as He shows favor to us by shedding His blood. He who was and is just suffered and died for the unjust that He might bring us to God. And that is God's favor to you. That is God's grace to you. The Apostle John writes in John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 6, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shown His face to you in His Son, Jesus Christ. God has shown His favor to you in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has blessed you. When Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was just the opposite of what God has done towards you. By showing His face to you and showing favor to you, God turned away from His Son, Jesus Christ, in that moment. Turned His back on His Son, so that He might turn His favor towards you and be gracious to you. In Jesus Christ, God has shown His face to you and been gracious to save you. The third part of this blessing is found in verse 26, and it is that the Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The word countenance here is the same exact word in the Hebrew that is used for face in verse 25. But in this case, it is the Lord's lifting up His face. Not just looking towards you, but lifting up His face. And some would call that He's smiling at you. And I know that we as parents, and as children growing up, or even our own children now, we know the difference when our parents are looking at us with a face of approval or disapproval. We know the difference when our parents are looking at us with a face that is in our favor or not. And this blessing is saying that God is looking at us in our favor. His countenance is lifted up upon you. Jesus said in John 14, verses 16 to 18, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and I will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In this verse, Jesus promises not to leave us as orphans. So what does he do? To comfort us, he sends us a helper, a comforter, a counselor. It is through his Spirit that Jesus gives us peace. Peace with God, knowing that we have been reconciled to God, and peace with each other as we are united to each other in Christ. The blessing of peace comes to us through God, the Holy Spirit. Peace is the opposite of fear. Romans 8:14 tells us, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him." To have peace with God is to know that you are his child. I can't think of a more peaceful thought. To know that I belong to the God of the universe. Oh, what peace that gives to me. And I hope it does to you as well. It is by the Holy Spirit of adoption that we cry out to Abba, Father, that we can actually recognize God as our Father and be at peace with him. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace with God through the Spirit of Christ. A whole trusting and resting in God for all things. Do you know why you can do that? Because God has given you his Spirit to confirm to you that you are a child of God, if in fact you are, and you may have peace with God. You may rest in God. From whom do these blessings come from? They come from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that is who the one and only living and true God is. He is a triune God, and he blesses us here in a threefold way. He keeps us. He is gracious to us, and he gives us peace. The next question we should ask then is, to whom does this blessing flow? To whom does it go to? We see this in verses 23 and 27 of Numbers, and notice what God says here. In verse 23, he says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. These are God's people. This is the way you shall bless them. And then look at verse 27. "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." It is for the children of Israel. And Paul confirms this, that it is for the new Israel. When he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to the believers in the church in Corinth when he gives them and pronounces that blessing. God's blessings are for his people. Surely, we see good things happening to people who are not God's people. And this is just evidence of scriptural truth that God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. When the unbelieving farmer plants a seed, he can expect it to grow and produce crops. When an unbelieving person who's laboring on the job and does a good job, he can expect for his labor to produce results. When unbelieving parents have children, they often prosper. They are successful. God does show common grace to them. But this covenantal blessing of security and grace and peace is not for the wicked. It is not for those whom God has not elected in his covenant. God does not keep them from hell and misery forever. God does not show to the wicked his saving grace, and they do not have the spirit of peace in their lives. Do you want this kind of blessing? This is the blessing that God gives to us in the benediction. These covenantal blessings are for those who are in the covenant faith of God. Those who belong to him as his adopted children, they are the ones, just like this morning, who have had the name of God put on them. Do you realize that's what we did this morning? We publicly put the name of God on Israel. That's who these blessings are for. God's people. When Jesus said to the apostles to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, these are the ones upon whom the blessings flow. These are the ones that God says to them, I will bless. And if you have the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost upon you by faith in Christ alone, then these blessings are for you and your children and all those who are like you, all those who are the people of God. And just as Jesus commissioned those apostles to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into his covenant blessing, he also gave them the privilege and duty to pronounce the blessing, the benediction. Which is the next question that we will answer. Who pronounces this blessing from God? We see this in verses 22 and 23. In the Old Testament times, it was given to the priest, to Aaron, his sons, as God says to Moses in verses 22 and 23. Moses, tell Aaron, this is how they are to bless my people. If we were to look at Leviticus 9, 22 and 23, we would see this actually happening. After Aaron had brought the sacrifices to God, this is what it says. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out when the worship was over and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And in New Testament times, we see our great high priest doing the same thing. We see Jesus that we read about there in the Gospel of Luke blessing his disciples in the same way just before he ascended to the Father, saying, in verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That was the great high priest giving that blessing. But there are no priests other than Jesus Christ. But as he commanded his disciples to go forward and teach what he commanded, and as he commissioned them to be the proclaimers and preachers of God's word, this blessing fell to them. And that's why we see it at the end of some of the letters, such as we've been reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Just one example of many. But the benediction is given to the apostles and therefore to the elders and teachers and ministers of God's word, that this may continue on for the people of God. God's blessings are for his people. Do you want it? As the ministry of the word was in the calling of the apostles, it is now in the calling of the ministers of the gospel. When you hear it today, a minister of the gospel will pronounce the guaranteed and sure blessing of God upon your life as his people. And so what will be your response? And that's our last point, and that's our application. Our last question, as the minister pronounces the blessing, how are you going to respond to it? We see the appropriate response in the disciples when Jesus blessed them. Did you notice how they responded to this blessing? Verse 52, it says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They didn't just They weren't just rejoicing because a blessing had been pronounced. They were rejoicing that a blessing had been pronounced upon them by God because they needed that blessing. Here they were, this band of disciples, getting ready to be sent out into a world that opposes Christ, that opposes God. Well, they were going to need this blessing. They were going to need to be kept. They were going to need the grace of God and the peace of His Spirit. So don't we also need it today? Has the world changed? Or is the world still not evil and wicked and opposing Jesus Christ? And so as we are sent out here today, after you hear the benediction, it is because you need it. You need it for your comfort and you need it for your joy. They received it with joy. They believed it would happen. They received it by faith because it came from God. And each and every Lord's Day, we need it too. We need it too. Because we face the enemy, we face the devil, we face those he uses to oppose Christ and his church. We need it to strengthen and sustain our faith, our obedience, and our witness. We need the sure blessing of God upon our lives to keep us, to be gracious to us. And when everything looks bad and terrible, to give us peace. Just as God told Moses, "I will bless them," Jesus blessed the disciples, and He blesses you as well in the benediction. In the benediction that will be pronounced today, there is real power, real blessing, because it comes from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the last question, will you receive it with joy? Will you stand up and take notice of what God is doing in the moment of the benediction? He is guaranteeing you His promised blessing. He is guaranteeing you that He Himself will be with you. So how will you receive it today? And I encourage you to receive it with joy and to lay claim to it and to say, "Amen, amen. Amen." To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word, the encouragement that we receive from it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon us. And thank you for the benediction, which reminds us of who you are and what you're doing in our life. Lord, burn this into our hearts and minds. Use it, Lord, to strengthen us to live boldly for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name.